1340-96.5 KVGC. Well, for those of you who have children in school and for those of you who are interested in the Amador County schools, you may recall that at the last school board meeting, the school board voted unanimously to approve floating a bond to the a general obligation bond to the voters of Amador County in the sum of $78 million. And we've got Jared Critchfield with us today from the Amador County Schools. And Jared, you're the Assistant Superintendent of Business. Would that be a good
title, Jim?
Fill you in there? So, so Jared, first off, the question is, $78 million, where does that figure come from? Did someone do an assessment study?
That is actually, that's a good question.
Ask principals, hey, what do you want in your school? How did that go?
No, it actually has to do with the county's bonding capacity. And so when it comes to general obligation bonds, that is a number figured in with the home values and what rates we can get, and the number is generated from that. So it's not necessarily generated from any specific number that we're looking for. It's that is the bonding capacity for the county.
You may not spend the $78 million, or you may need more than $78 million?
So we had a facility needs committee meet last fall from all the school sites throughout the district, and we had representation. Every principal was there, teachers, parents from school sites, and they came together and basically created needs for each school site. And the estimated total of priority projects, but not all projects, but what they deemed priority was around $100 million.
Okay.
So we definitely have a need there. That would be greatly helped by the $78 million.
So, Jared, what's this going to cost me as a property owner in Amador County?
Great question. The way it works for a general obligation bond, it has to do with your home's assessed value. And so they use a factor with off of every 100,000 of assessed value, it's $59 per year. So the median home value in Amador County is $207,000.
Right.
So that's roughly $122 per year that you would pay as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you argue with people that say there's a lot of folks that rent and their children go to school? Shouldn't they be paying a fair share of this, as opposed to like the fire tax, where you put a quarter of a cent tax on every dollar that's spent that goes to the schools? Wouldn't that be a more fair way than to put it on property owners who may not have kids in school anymore?
And I can totally see your point there and understand why people could be frustrated with that. But this is how general obligation bonds work. So we don't really get to decide how the payments are made or come to us or by what mechanism. But if you're going for a general obligation bond, it's through homeowners.
Now, $78 million, if you get that money, will you get a big lump sum of $78 million to put in a pot?
No. Right now, the way it's written up will be in four series. So it will pay out over 8 years in four series. So basically every 2 years we'll receive an amount. If passed in November, the first issuance is set for May of 2019 in the amount of $15 million. And then you would see another series a couple years later that would be larger, around 30, and then two more after that.
And then do you have a series of projects prioritized, like this will be for the first $15 million, this will be for the second, this will be for the third, this will be for the fourth?
So we have priority projects by site. We have not set necessarily the order of how we will go about those projects. That would come into the planning phase if the bond were to pass. And so we would take a look at all of those projects. And some of the projects, we could mobilize them very quickly. Like, for example, we have schools that need new roofs and things like that that would go very quickly. But then you have, as an example, Ion Elementary that most likely needs a new building. While we would begin potential planning on that very quickly, actually doing the building may take a little longer because of the process.
So some of the criticism of this is that you've been vague. The district's been vague. We want to pass this bond, but we're really not going to tell you what we're going to do with the money.
No, that's a good question. The way the resolution's written and the way a bond is written up is it gives the district the ability to look at all of their facilities and do the projects that they deem necessary. If we get too specific at the time, the problem with that can be needs can change over time. And as this bond pays out over a series of 8 years, things could be very different. Our needs could change. And so while we have our priorities, it still will be left up to the school board as we go through these projects on what projects are executed. And mm-hmm. these projects hit dollar amounts that the board needs to approve. So it wouldn't be the administration just making a decision on their own to say, this is what we're going to do. We would do a lot of the legwork behind the scenes, but then we would bring recommendations forward to the board, and the board would then ultimately approve the projects or not approve them.
Now, you say you're going to appoint an oversight committee. Have you appointed the oversight committee yet, or is it going to be just you and the superintendent and maybe someone else?
Yeah, just me and a few close friends.
Okay.
But no, actually, what we're hoping to do is get a cross-sampling of people from all across the community, and typically you don't put together.
Is there a formula set forth for this?
There is a formula where you have to have someone from a senior citizens community. You have to have there's a variety of people from the community. It has to be a cross section mm-hmm. with district employees as well. Typically, you don't organize that committee unless the bond actually were to pass. I mean, it kind of puts the cart before the horse.
I see.
It happens in November. First money doesn't come to us in May. So that, November, December would be the time where we would put the process together for selecting the individuals on the oversight committee. At the board meeting on August 8th, when the board approved the bond, we discussed that a little bit, and it was brought up that, one of the board members mentioned maybe we go through, have an application process and make it very clear to people. And so that's something we would take a look at if the bond were to pass.
Jared, why try to, and I'll, for lack of a better term, ram this through right now with, it just seems like there's been no real time. It's just, you came up with the idea of a bond and now you're going to try to pass it. Shouldn't you take a year or two to talk to the people and get more information to the people instead of just trying to, rush it through right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. This has been more than a year of a process.
As you said at the beginning, you had those meetings with the site.
Correct. And we had site representation back in the fall. We met monthly for 3 months in a row. And so we had two board workshops last year where we discussed the bond in board meetings. And it's been something that's been, we've been talking about for a long time.
And I think we should have said this maybe at the very beginning. You as district employees, you, the superintendent, the board, the members of the district, cannot campaign for this.
Well, there's a distinction with that. We can campaign on our own time,
but
as individuals.
Like,
but
you can't
as,
be here today talking,
correct.
Trying to convince people to pass
yes,
this bond.
Exactly. We can give information and answer questions. We absolutely should
so
do that.
So can Jared Critchfield on the weekends walk districts and shake hands with people?
Absolutely.
Can you say, I'm Jared Critchfield, assistant superintendent of business with the school district, or do you have to be Jared Critchfield, private citizen?
If people know that, they know that, but I wouldn't put that out there at the forefront mm-hmm. if I'm advocating for the bond on my own time.
Okay. Have you hired a consultant to help you with this? Or is
yeah,
it
we've hired a couple of different consultants. We did back early in the wintertime. We actually had a public opinion survey that one consulting firm ran for us that they did a cross-section of all the demographics of our community to give the board more information on whether or not this was a viable option and if voters were receptive to it. We've also
were the results of that?
The results, they're pretty extensive. They're up on our website. You can go back and look at that. And on the school district website, amadorcoe.org. But basically what it shows is the majority of people recognize that there is a need. And depending on the circumstances, the support was in the high 50s to low 60s, depending on how the questions were asked. And they made it, they didn't make it with a positive spin the whole time. They wanted it to be realistic. And mm-hmm. the board felt that it was enough information there to show that there's a chance,
yeah.
and they felt that it was important to go forward.
At some time in this process, will you have public meetings and invite the public to come? And besides the survey, because that wasn't sent out to every – I didn't know anything about that survey, so I obviously didn't get one. But will there be meetings with the public to where the public will be able to sit down maybe or at – throughout the county and maybe give you their ideas what they would want or how they would want the bond spent? Because personally, I think you're wasting money trying to do anything with Jackson Junior High School. I live right next to it. My kids have gone there. Can't we have a new facility? Can we do something with that property, sell it off, and build something new somewhere? I mean, how many times are you going to put Band-Aids on that place?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We have a great need, and we understand that some of our facilities are lacking, but building new schools, has
what
not
does it cost,
been,
Jared? Because let's build a new school. They're going to pass this bond, and they're going to build one high school and make everybody go to one high school. Okay?
So
and
I was.
How much does it cost to build a school?
I was just. There's a range. It depends on what you want at this school, but I was just talking to a retired administrator from Palo Alto, and they are building a new high school, and right now the estimated price tag is $225
million. Wow.
I believe in this community, depending
on
the need.
$225
million.
Well, how
yes.
big a school is that?
A school, I believe he said a school of about 2,000.
Wow.
So, I mean,
which I would
you...
build here in Amador County just because of, I mean, we already could fit 1,000 kids probably right now.
Yeah, but we have about 1,200 high school students.
Yeah. So why wouldn't we build one, look to the future and build one a little bit larger?
Well, with the $78 million bond, I think a conservative estimate would be at least $150 million to build a new high school. That really that only gets us about halfway
so
there.
So this bond is not about consolidating schools and doing that. This bond is actually to improve what we have.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. And we're in a state right now where we've seen over the last couple of years some modest growth in our enrollment. We anticipate continuing to see that with some of the neighborhoods that are coming in, especially in Ione.
Do you think we'll see another school in Ione someday? Maybe not high school, but maybe another junior or elementary school?
I don't know. The junior high is a great campus, and it has a lot of room on the campus. The elementary is definitely a priority for us. They are running out of space. We recognize they have too many portables. I believe they have 19 portables on that campus. And so that would be, for me, as bringing recommendations to the board, that would be a strong recommendation of doing more to expand the elementary school.
So, Jared, what do you want? You went through school here. You're a classmate of JD's. You guys are contemporaries. What do you want for your children to go through in Amador County Schools?
Yeah, I mean, I have three children in the school system, one more that will be when he's old enough, and I just think that it would be nice for me to have the facilities look different than they did when I was in school. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything looks about the same, and we're to a point where we've been able to do some projects that I feel show what can happen. We've ran into some career tech ed money, and the new culinary facility at Argonaut is listed as a renovation, but we will have a grand opening for that building probably in a couple of months, and you'll see what can be done when you just renovate. Not a brand new school, but when you renovate a facility and what a great facility it can be.
Over the summer, I heard more people talking, and I run in a whole lot of different crowds, okay? So it's not just one crowd. People were excited about the plasma tables and the plasma cutters and for the shops at both Amador and Argonaut, and to see maybe a return of the vocational arts to both schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And vocational arts, now the term they're using in education in California is career technical education. A lot of people still refer to it as vocational education too. That's fine. And so we secured a grant as a district for career technical education. We're able to do some things. Part of that was the culinary room at Argonaut. Mm-hmm. We also, over this summer, did two projects at each of our high schools for welding facilities.
Right.
And so we had all the electrical done, which is very intensive to get all of that work done. And so now we have top-line welders and teachers that will be teaching welding.
So, Jared, if we don't pass this bond, are the schools going to fall down? They'll be in disrepair and we'll just have to homeschool our children?
I don't think it'll ever get that bad, but I guess for me it's just what do we want our standard to be for our kids? Do we want it to be older buildings that don't have state-of-the-art facilities and we get through it? And we'll always find solutions. We'll find a way to work through it, but... Or do we want facilities that take us to the next level and make us competitive?
There's an obvious need and a way to take care of it right here. I just have a quick question. You had said how much it's going to cost homeowners, and that number was surprisingly low to me when I heard it. Can you just say that again so
sure.
our listeners hear it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's $59 for every $100,000 of assessed value. And in our community, the median home value is $207,000. Mm-hmm. So
and
half of everybody's home is less than that, and that's $122 a year.
Over how long, Jared?
So it's a 30-year bond, but the way it works, to be completely clear, the way it works is that 30 years doesn't begin until all the series have been issued. So that will take 8 years plus the 30. Mm-hmm. So it's 38 years.
So if the bond passes and we get the money, are you going to then say, okay, we want to improve the bathrooms at Jackson Elementary? That's going to be our first project. And we want to do something at Plymouth and at Ione Junior High. And then post that somewhere and have public meetings so people can come and say, no, we'd rather have a lunchroom at here, or would like to have this there? Are you going to listen to the people or just say, no, this is what we...
We absolutely will listen to the people, but our main job as administration is to listen to the people through the board. Mm-hmm. And so we will continue to consult with the school board on what they deem
to be. So speak to your
priorities.
Board representatives then. Go talk to your... Absolutely. Talk to your board members.
Absolutely.
And come to meetings and voice your opinions at the meetings.
Yeah, you
too.
Can. Absolutely. We had a couple of members from the public that voiced their opinions at the last board meeting, and we always welcome those public comments to hear what people have to say, and we will definitely reach out to the public and let them know what's going on.
Jared, I don't know if you answered this question for me or not, or if I even answered it, or asked it rather. Do you have a list of what you want to do with that first batch of money that comes in, or do you have a list of... And I think I used this priorities before.
So we don't have a list of with the first batch of money. What we do is we have a list
of
from the facility needs committee. That is, it's not an official document with the bond, but it is a public document that we had at the board meeting to show what each site deemed to be their top priorities. And for me, working through this, that would be the document that we would work with the board on. Okay, here are our priorities district wide. And if they're asking for our recommendations, we would give them on what the order would be.
Sure.
And as an example for me, it would be some of the more immediate needs like roofs and starting planning for a school like Ione Elementary on what we need to do there as it's getting to capacity.
All
those
right.
would be my two.
Jared, thanks for coming in to visit with us today. I think you've answered the questions that we've had. Now, will we see in the coming months, in the coming weeks, in the coming days, will we see more information on this released?
Absolutely. We will continue to push out information regarding the bond. We're always happy to answer any questions that people have. I've met with quite a few people from the public, either by phone or a few people have dropped by the office and talked to them. We're always
happy
to answer questions.
Is anybody opposed to it? Jared, have you talked to anybody that said no?
Absolutely. Nope. I have. And, people do, they have valid concerns. And so I'm happy to talk them through it and just give them the information on what it costs to the voter and, what the needs are. And, obviously voters have the right to choose for themselves.
You don't have children yet. Would you be willing to pay this money for your own property?
I don't have children, but even if this wasn't going through, if I knew I could take $150 is probably what it would be on my house. If every year I could take $150 and I knew every other homeowner was going to do the same and it was going to make a difference like this, I'd happily do it. Mm-hmm. Happily do it. So, it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. All right. Jared, anything else did we cover?
No, that's it. I really appreciate you having me in and being able to answer some of your questions today.
Okay.
So thanks, Jim.
Jared Critchfield, Amador County Assistant Superintendent of Business. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you.